You may be seated. We're in our series on doctrine, and we've been talking here about the last few weeks about the importance of hearing from God. Doctrine are the things that we as believers need to know. These are things that we need to believe in. And we felt it was necessary to start laying this out for our church because so many people really aren't confident in what they're supposed to believe. And so we felt we could do two things with this series. One, encourage you and help you and inform you about basic fundamental Christian doctrine. But secondly, let you know that we as a church, where we stand, where these doctrines are concerned. And I think it's important to know both. Amen? And so we're talking about this week. Part two is, we started this last week, that the doctrine of revelation, that is, God speaks. Listen, everybody wants to hear from God. Amen? We want God to speak to us, don't we? We need to hear from heaven. And yet so many people don't know how to draw from God, don't know how to hear from heaven. And so what we're going to ask you to do is to help us with that. Amen? Help us to listen to God and how He speaks to you. And one way you can do that is as you get into the Word of God and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. So last week we found out what is revelation. Simply God speaking to us. Amen. God wants to speak to you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. And revelation is what we talk about. God revealing who He is, what He's about to us. And He does it several ways. We found out how does God do this. He does it through some general revelation. In other words, you can find out about who God is by just looking at creation and what He's created. And He does it in some more specific ways, which we call special revelation through His Word, specifically ministered to us in other ways, prophecy and other things. Then we also found out then that how do we know that the Scripture's really, really true to us? And we gave you some history about the Bible and where it came from and how it becomes truth to all of us and why we can't believe in it. And then we found out what the Bible has to say about what it calls Scripture. We found out that Scripture simply is the writings of God's Word. Amen. The Bible is a collection of those writings. Old and New Testament is a collection of the writings of God. Old Testament leading up to Jesus. New Testament fulfilling the Old Testament and talks about Jesus and the responsibility of the church. Both are very important. Amen. And so what we want to do is pick up from there and we want to talk about a little bit is about who wrote the Bible. And you say, well, why is this even important, Pastor Rob? What do we care? Well, it's important because you see, the Bible that you hold in your hand or on your iPad or in your phone, that Bible is your life. And you need to know whether that Bible is accurate. You need to know whether that Bible is truth because guess what? Everything we talk about here in this church is based upon what we see in the Bible. Everything that we believe as a person is based upon the fact that what does the Bible say about it? It's how we set our priorities. It's how we set the truth in our life. It's all coming from the Word of God. But if the Word of God has no value to us, if we don't understand how critically important it is, then you'll take the Bible and treat it like another novel. Amen. And it will no longer carry the importance. You might reverence it as a holy book and keep it on your coffee table and dust it when you do all your dusting and that. But listen, if it's not off the coffee table and in your heart, it doesn't do anything. Amen. It's got to be more than just reverenced. You need to understand that this Bible is God speaking to me. Amen. Revelation. And so what we want to do today is I want to take you a little bit further in this study and talk about who wrote the Bible. Because it's important because people question this. People always are questioning, you know, how can men have written the Bible and we can put trust in that? Well, first of all, we'll see this a little bit later in this study. We looked at a little bit of this last week. But first of all, I want to just make this statement to you. We'll prove it later. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible is God's inspired Word. And so God inspired the Bible to be written, and He used men to write it. He took their personality, He took their experiences, He took their lifestyle, where they lived, their culture, and He incorporated that in the writing of the Word of God. He used men from different backgrounds, different cultures, people from all over He used to write this book. He inspired them to write within the book. And so when we look at this, we say, all right, who are these guys? When you look at the Old Testament, you'll see that there's several names of books of the Bible in the Old Testament. And those names that are on the books of the Bible, if you look them up in your concordance, you're going to find out who many of the people are that wrote the Bible. Remember, they were the human factor that God used to do something supernatural. It was supernaturally inspired, but used human beings to do it. Okay, you with me still? So you can look at this and you can see that David and Moses and Joshua and Solomon and Nehemiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Habakkuk all are names that we can look at in the Bible and say, hey, these are guys that we know were involved in writing the Old Testament, right? They're all part of that. Now, the way that this would work is some of these guys actually sat down with a pen in hand and actually penned what God was speaking to their heart. God spoke to them, and then God spoke through them as they wrote the Word of God out. Other men had a scribe come, somebody that you could maybe look at it as a court stenographer. You know, when the court proceedings are going on, someone's writing down everything that's being said. Well, they would have court stenographers that they called scribes. And the scribes would come, and these were anointed men of God, and they would sit with a prophet of God. And as the prophet spoke, as the prophet prophesied, these anointed men would write word for word what was being spoken. So it still was as if they were writing it. It was coming from God, inspired by God, and they wrote it out. You can see an example of this in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 4, where it says, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah, listen, all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. So here's a scribe writing all these things down, right? So then, when we look at the Old Testament, it's interesting that you can see over 200 times in the Old Testament the word, thus saith the Lord, or thus says the Lord. These are things that they are speaking under direct inspiration of the Lord. The Lord is causing them to prophesy these out, and they're saying, God is saying this. Using a human being, but God is saying this. Over 200 times. Amen. Now you say, why is all these statistics important? Just hear me out. And you'll see how I'll tie it together for you, right? I don't want you to get bored and lose sight of this, because these are important things. Also, we can find in the Old Testament that over 3,800 times in the Old Testament, you see words like God said, or God speaking to me, or God moved upon me too. You see this kind of terminology over 3,800 times. And so throughout the Old Testament, you're seeing the hand of God moving men of God to speak, write, to declare what God has said. All right? Then if you come over to the New Testament, in the New Testament, of course, we know that's just the fulfillment of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, over 300 direct quotes we see there from the Old Testament. Over 300 times did God lead these men of God to quote something right out of the Old Testament. Now people say, well, the Old Testament's old and we don't need that anymore. Well, obviously, these guys felt it was important enough, God thought it was important enough to have them quote something that was said way back when and bring it over to the New Testament. So the Old Testament absolutely is important, and God spoke to them about it. And there's over 4,000 references in the Old Testament in the New Testament to some Old Testament terminology or a thought or an ideal or a custom or some kind of thought that is brought from the Old Testament over into the New Testament. We see how God has tied these two books together, the Old and the New Testament, these two covenants, God ties them together, because again, the New is the fulfillment of the Old, and they had to bring them together. What's absolutely amazing to me is when you go back and you look at some of the things that were prophesied or written hundreds and thousands of years before they ever came to pass in the New Testament, and written with absolute accuracy. How do you prophesy things? This is not popular stuff, right? It's not popular in the Old Testament to go around and say that the Messiah is going to be born of a virgin. That's crazy thinking. What do you mean someone's going to be born of a virgin? Yet it was prophesied about thousands of years before in the Old Testament, and we see the fulfillment of it with complete accuracy in the New Testament. And that's just one of thousands and thousands of examples of how God was so articulate. Only a God that knows everything, knows the end from the beginning, could ever inspire somebody to write something with such accuracy that would be fulfilled with such accuracy in the New Testament. This is an amazing book. Amen. It absolutely is a book inspired by God, written by the inspiration of God and the Holy Spirit involved in that, helping and leading and guiding us. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." Jesus said that when I am out of this world, after I have died, been buried, and raised from the dead, He said, "I want you to know something." He said, after all that takes place, what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He is going to bring to your remembrance everything I said. Amen? Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you, and He wants to bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has spoken. Why? Because human nature is we forget. Right? How many of you, when you were in school, you learned what you needed to learn to pass the test, and once you passed the test, you just dumped that, flushed it, and went on to the next thing. Amen? Spelling? Huh? That was me, man. I would memorize the words and get the A on the test, but my spelling is atrocious. Thank God for a spell check. Amen. And sometimes spell check can't even help me. Absolutely the truth. But yet, I aced all my spelling tests. Why? Because I wasn't learning. I was memorizing just to pass a test. We seem to forget so much. Things in life happen to us and we forget about it. But I'm telling you, the things that are important that God wants you to know, those things, my friend, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is going to bring those things back. Those spiritual truths, He'll bring them to your remembrance so that you can know them. And many times it happens through the word that was written. He brought back experiences that the disciples or the apostles actually lived out with Jesus. He brought them back to their remembrance so they could write it out in exact detail. Absolutely. It was a promise from Jesus that that would happen. In John 16:14, He said, "He will glorify me and He will take of what is mine and He'll declare it to you." So once again, the Holy Spirit anointed these men of God to write these things out that He has said, that He has spoken. Now understand and know this. Not everything that Jesus did is recorded. Not everything that Jesus said is recorded. Just the things that God thought we needed to know. So you have in your possession everything God wanted you to know about Jesus, about what He did, how He lived. You have it all. You don't need any more revelation as far as more books. You have what you need to know about Jesus, about God, who He is, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when we take a look at the New Testament, we can see that there again are men that are recorded there as people that actually wrote the Bible. You know about Matthew, he wrote 28 chapters. Mark wrote 16. Luke wrote 42. John wrote 50 chapters. Paul wrote 93 to 106. And the reason we say that is because people today argue about who actually wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people say Luke. Some people say Paul. So whatever, you know, 93 to 106, somewhere in there. And then Peter, he wrote 8 chapters. James, one of Jesus' brothers, wrote 5. And Jude, another one of Jesus' brothers, he wrote 1. So what's interesting is this. Now listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth." So what you see written in your hands that you have that we call the Holy Bible, again, the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write this word. And once again, what you see is he said the Holy Spirit is inspiring these men to write out truth that you need to know so that you can understand spiritual things. People say, I just can't understand that spiritual stuff. It's just real wacky to me. I don't get it. Well, you're not allowing the Spirit of God to show you. See, unfortunately, we've had a lot of people that have taken the Bible and so complicated it that nobody can figure it out. And many of us have sat under that kind of teaching that just, whoo. I believe the Word of God ought to be right down here at a level where the Holy Spirit can teach us, open our eyes so that we can see truth. Because that's how He operates. He takes spiritual men, gives them spiritual understanding to write down spiritual truths so that you and I can understand those. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, it says, if anyone thinks they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. So Paul said, man, if anybody's spiritual at all, just figure this out. Let them acknowledge the fact that what I'm writing is actually written by God's very command. He wrote out what God commanded him to write. Do you see the theme that we're bringing from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament? It's inspired by God. Using natural men. Yet it doesn't mean that he's using natural men writing their opinion. Make sure you get this. It's not man's opinion. As many people say, well, they're infallible men, so the book has to be fallible. These guys make mistakes. They're not perfect. They're human beings. Listen, when God inspired them, it was perfect. They wrote down what God said to write. They spoke out what God said to speak. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 5 says, in reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. So how did God do this? He used in the Old Testament prophets and in the New Testament the apostles. He used them to write down the things that we need to know. In the New Testament, that's why it says that, you know, no other foundation needs to be laid than the foundation the apostles laid. There's no more books you need to add on top of the Bible in order to get it. That's it. We don't need the Book of Mormon. Amen. We don't need somebody's writings, although we appreciate people writing books and sharing things with us. We're not discounting that, bringing explanation, but not further revelation. The revelation that you have of God speaking to you about who He is and what He's about is in your Bible. Amen. And what we need to do is get into our Word and begin to study it. All right. These are divinely inspired by God. Here's what the doctrinal, I guess the doctrine, I guess the verbiage that we would use to describe everything I'm talking to you about, what they use in theology today to describe it, it's called verbal plenary inspiration. Let me just read this to you. What does that mean? That means God the Holy Spirit so supernaturally directed the human writers of Scripture that without waiving their intelligence, their individuality, their personal feelings, their literary style, or any other human factor of expression, His complete coherent message to mankind was recorded with perfect accuracy in the original languages of Scripture, the very words bearing the all authority of divine authorship. What does that mean? We believe this about all that. Let me just break it down for you this way. It's talking about the inerrancy of Scripture. And people all the time ask us, do you really believe that the Word of God is a perfect book, that it's not full of errors? We believe at Victory Christian Church, make no doubt about it, that we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. We believe it's exactly what God wants it to be. Amen? You need to know that because some people don't agree with that. That simply means this. Let me break this whole verbal plenary inspiration thing down for you, right? Verbal simply means that every word in the Bible, not just the concepts, but the actual words of the Bible are inspired by God. We believe that. We believe that the entire Word of God is God inspired. Amen? Matthew says it this way, Matthew 5:18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Every word is inspired by God, right? This is something interesting, plenary. It means Scripture. And it means all of Scripture. It doesn't mean you get to pick and choose what Scripture you like. Thomas Jefferson, all of you know who he is, right? He is a deist. What a deist is someone who believes that God created everything, then just left and abandoned it. That's what he believed. And so what he did is he got his copy of the Bible, and he took literally a pair of scissors, and he went through the Bible and he cut out everything he didn't agree with. Yeah, he literally did this. And then he wrote this thing that he called the philosophy of Jesus Christ. And that was now his standard of which he lived by. And you say, boy, that's really brash. I can't believe anybody would do that. Well, you and I do it all the time. We just don't take scissors. Right? We read it, don't like that. Move on, right? But let me tell you what, all Scripture is inspired by God. You and I do not have the right to pick and choose which ones we're going to live in and which ones we're going to walk by and which ones we're going to let influence our life. We don't have that right. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. All right, moving on. Inspiration. Right? Inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture. Notice again, all Scripture. Not some, not most, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. So all Scripture is inspired by God. Not some, not just a little bit, all of it. And what we need to understand, friend, is when God inspired this book to be written, when He inspired men to write it, God had a message that you and I today will need to live our life and to line our life up and to have success in this life. We're going to need to know it. There's truths you're going to need to know. You can't figure God out by just trying to meditate. You're going to have to go through the Word of God, learn who He is. You're not going to understand the plan of salvation unless you read your Bible. You're not going to know who Jesus is unless you read your Bible. You're not going to know the work in this day, in this hour of the Holy Spirit unless you read your Bible. And you're not going to know what God expects from you unless you read your Bible. Amen. When you go to work somewhere, they hand you a employee manual. Any HR people in here? No? Okay. Well, they hand you an employee manual. And in that employee manual, they tell you what they expect from you and what you can expect from them. And if you do something that violates that employee manual, you can't go back to them and say, well, you're getting written up. Well, gee whiz, I didn't know that was wrong. They're going to pull out this little piece of paper. And they say, is this your signature? Yeah. Well, this says that you received the employee manual and that you were going to read it. Now, if you didn't read the employee manual, that is not our fault. That's your problem. You're still held accountable. And a lot of people cry about, well, I don't know why God's judging me in this. I didn't. Ignorancy is not an option. I guess I can tell you this. This week I talked to, Debbie and I went and we talked to a tax attorney. And we're trying to, because we owed a lot of money in taxes this year. So we try to find a way to, you know, what are our options here? And the tax attorney said, well, did you do this? And we said, well, no, we didn't know about that. And he goes, well, as far as the IRS is concerned, ignorance doesn't matter. You could be ignorant. We don't care. You're still responsible. Amen? Well, that's how it is with the Word. God loves you, and He's given you His Word, but He's not going to put your nose in it and make you read it. All right? That's something we have to choose to do. 2 Peter, I got to hurry up. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20 through 21 says this. Listen to this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Once again, we see that Scripture cannot be interpreted just out of our own understanding. Scripture must be interpreted with other scripture. Right? It's not of any private interpretation. You can't twist this, make it say what you want it to say. It says what God wants it to say, and you've got to line it up with other word. Amen. Real quickly, let me just go down here a little bit. Let's go down to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, because I think this is important. 2 Peter chapter 3, 15 through 16, it says, "And remember, the Lord's patience gives people time to be saved." Aren't you glad? And glad He was patient with me. He needed a lot of time to get me. "This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. And this will result in their destruction." Real quickly, listen to what it says here. Peter is writing this. Peter is always one of the apostles. Whenever the apostles are listed, he's always number one. Because he was the leader of the apostles. So they always put him first. But he's writing and he's talking about the apostle Paul now. And he said, listen, Paul has written some stuff through the wisdom that God gave him. And he wrote them out in letters. And he said that these letters, because people ask this question, how do we know that all these things are Scripture? These guys didn't know what they were writing was going to be Scripture. Well, wait a minute. God knew. We've already established that, right? And so God knew, and God gave Paul wisdom to write this. Listen to what he said. Paul wrote some stuff that's hard to understand. We just did a series in our last life group, Misunderstood Terms of the Bible, right? Paul wrote about things that others didn't write about, like propitiation. What in the world is that, right? Paul wrote about righteousness, right? Paul wrote about women keeping their head covered in church. What's that all about? Paul wrote about speaking in other tongues. These are things today, my friend, that people still are talking about. Still hard to understand. He said he wrote some hard stuff. That wasn't stuff that you couldn't get. It was mysteries of the faith that we've got to dig and study and let God show us and reveal to us. Amen? But the average person took some of those things because they didn't like it, he said, and they twisted them and made them say whatever they wanted them to say. He said, those guys better watch out because they're headed for destruction. But I want you to catch one little phrase here that will tell you again what we're talking about. Notice that it says, again in that 16th verse, he said, speaking of these things in all of his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different. Listen now, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. Peter is comparing Paul's letters to Scripture. They're inspired by God. Scripture. He said it's Scripture just like all the other parts of Scripture that are twisted and by men. It's Scripture. Peter even says it is. Amen? And so we see through all of this, and I'm not going to get into this part with you today. It's in your notes. Very interesting. People say, well, how in the world can we trust that the Bible is even accurate? Well, I put some really interesting statistics in your notes. And as you go through these, you're going to find out that there are certain things, because people want to know, you know, hey, listen, you know, Jesus, let me say this, Jesus never taught from original text. He always taught not from an original transcript, but a copy. When he went into the temple in Luke chapter 4 and he read, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," that was not the original document. He was reading off of a copy of the original document. Now, if Jesus could take a copy and say that the copy is Scripture and say, "Today this is being fulfilled in your ears," if Jesus put that kind of confidence in the copy, what about us? See, what we get concerned about is, well, we don't have the original copy. All we've got is this English version. What's up with that? Well, I take you through some things that show you, because see, the further that you get away from the original, the more opportunity that there is to make mistakes. So let's say you had an original like was written in 900 AD, and then you get over here, and the latest copy that we have, the latest copy we have is 900 AD, and now we're writing a Bible off of that. There's a long stretch of time in between there that can show that there's a lot of opportunity for error. Right? So the further away you get from the last original or last certified copy, the further you get away from that, the easier it is to have mistakes. Well, I took you through some things where I show you about Plato and how far away his writings were, and we accept those. Julius Caesar's writings and how far away they were and how many original copies we have of that and how far away that was, and we accept that. So there's some statistics like that that you need to look at, but here's what I want you to see. Once the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947, all of a sudden our latest copy of the Old Testament was 900 A.D., all of a sudden, this now is all the way up to 1947. When they began to compare these, what they began to find was they took books of the Bible and they found very, very, very few errors. Very few errors. And the errors they find were mostly a grammatical error, spelling error, some kind of stylistic writing error, but nothing of substance that changed any doctrine. That's how you can tell the Bible's true. If you look at the New Testament, we're only 100 years away from some of the texts that we have of its original manuscripts. Just hundreds of years, and it just keeps multiplying that way. So we can go back and find original texts that no more than 100 years passed between the writings. So that shows you that's way, way good. Amen. Anyone that any literary scholar will tell you that is going to show it's pretty accurate. So both Old Testament and New Testament, we have the accuracy of the Bible, and I gave you those statistics in there, but I wanted to close with this last thought. How does our view of Scripture affect our life? This is why all this is important. You say, why do I even need to know all this stuff? You need to know because you've got to put some confidence in that book that you call the Bible. Because again, as I said, God's going to hold you accountable to walk in it. So are you going to walk in it in light of the truth that you read? Are you going to make your own rules up as you go? God's going to call you accountable. He's going to hold you that way. And so when we find truth in the Bible that we should be reading daily, you know, and if you're not on our reading plan, get on it. You can always start now. But listen, if you're not reading through the Bible every day, you're not getting in some scriptures every single day in your life, you're going to read stuff and you're going to see things in there, my friend, that's going to say, listen, this is what God said. And you're going to say, ooh, I'm not living like that. It's the mirror that you look in. It's called the mirror. And God said you need to look in the mirror of His Word, and if you don't see what God says you're supposed to see in the reflection, then it's your responsibility to change. And you can't do that, my friend, apart from not having confidence that this book is absolutely 100% accurate and it's 100% God speaking to me. And if you don't know that, then you'll look in the mirror, you'll see that you don't reflect what you're supposed to reflect, and you'll say, it doesn't matter. It's not that big a deal. Who's it hurting anyway? And you'll treat the Word of God with contempt. And if you treat the Word of God with contempt, you're no different than what Peter talked about, those folks that are twisting the Word to say whatever they want to say. He said, their end is going to be destruction. Many of us have refused to line our life up the way that God said to do it, and you're experiencing destruction in your life right now. You can change that, my friend. Listen, we live in a fallen world. We got enough stuff going on in our life today and pressures that we've got to face and battles that we need to fight without creating our own through disobedience. Amen? Don't let ignorance be your excuse. Get in the Word of God, find out what God says, and make the commitment, I'm lining my life up with it, period. Plain and simple. Amen? Father, thank You today for Your truth. We thank You, God, that You gave us this Word to be our life. You said those that find it shall have life, Father God. You said, Father God, that Your Word is life to those that find it. It's health and medicine to our flesh. God, You said that Your Word is truth. And Father, that we can align our life up with that truth. And so I pray today, God, that we will make a decision, because the rest of what we talk about, Father, is going to be based on that truth. the inerrancy of your Scripture, Father God. And I thank you, God, you're going to help us to align our life up with it. And we give you the praise and the honor for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.